Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, starting with verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the good news of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Several years ago, the United Methodist Church put out a film that was one of the best things that I remember the Methodist Church doing. It was called Begin With Goodbye, and the premise of the film was to help people in all of the different transitions that they had in their lives to be able to say a healthy goodbye so that they would be able to have a new beginning in their lives. The people who had experienced the death of a loved one, that they were able to grieve that death and get through that grief so that they could have a productive and happy life in the future. Those folks who had lost a job could struggle through the loss of the job, but then be ready and had to have the energy for looking for another job and to succeed in the next job that they had. In the midst of divorce, saying goodbye to one relationship so that you could say hello to new relationships. All sorts of different kinds of ways of saying goodbye, because saying goodbye is difficult, but particularly when you say goodbye to those that you love. Now, in our society today, we call this closure, bringing closure to something. And so in the next couple of Sundays, today and next week, I want to bring some closure to the ministry that we've had together over the last 7.5, 8 years. And to look at some of the things that I think that God is calling us to do, who God is giving us these great opportunities that we have to be a part of ministry together. And so we'll be looking at that closure. And today I want to look at it with you out of a scripture that you heard Pastor Dina read a few moments ago. And it's a time of transition in the ministry of the church in Israel. It was the time between John the Baptist and Jesus. And we don't usually think of this as a movement or a transition of ministry, but it really was. John the Baptist is going to prison, and Jesus is now taking the reins of that ministry. If you think about it, this comes in the Gospel of Matthew just after the baptism of Jesus, just after the temptation in the wilderness. And now, from this point on, Jesus takes over in ministry. It's what's happening in this church, what's happening in Methodist churches all over the area, transitioning from one minister to another minister. And I'm kind of glad I'm not like John the Baptist. I've been able to escape prison over the last 7.5, 8 years, sometimes barely and sometimes not without warrant. But you know, Vic and I are in that same kind of transition that John the Baptist and Jesus were in. And if you think about it, don't you know the old talk is going on in Galilee, the same kind of old talk that goes on in the churches today? You know, people who say, you know, that Jesus, he's a good guy, but he's no preacher like John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was really a great preacher. Remember how he'd get in our face all the time? Remember when he called us, you brood of vipers? We didn't really like it at the time. In fact, a few of you talked to Staff Parrish about that. But really, you know, we liked it when he got in our face, told us we weren't doing good enough and that we ought to be doing better, and gave us some challenges. That was really good. We liked that about John the Baptist. Jesus is just so laid back. All he does is tell stories. Now, don't you wish he would just pound the pulpit one time so we know he's alive? That kind of old talk. And I'm sure it wasn't quite like that, but, you know, it's like that in a lot of churches in the transition time of looking at one style and moving to another style. Jesus didn't even talk about baptism. Why is Jesus not talking about baptism? That's all John ever talked about. You know, it's just one of those things that I think that we can realize that there is transition here, and transition means movement. Transition is a great opportunity for God to do something new. Next week, I'm going to be looking at the scripture from Isaiah that says, "Behold, I'm doing something new." God says through the voice of Isaiah, "Perceive, don't you perceive the new thing that I'm doing?" In the times of transition, it gives us the opportunity to see what new thing God is going to be doing in the midst of the life of the church. You see, Jesus was smart. Jesus knew that he was sent by God into this new situation. Jesus knew that he had a direction. Jesus was secure enough in himself to hear the good stories about John the Baptist, but know at the same time that he was taking the church in a new direction because that's what God wanted. The problem was he had a whole bunch of people that weren't clued into that same kind of notion of what God was doing. And so what Jesus did was that Jesus started to gather the disciples around him, some folks that would be willing to see the vision, that new thing that God was doing, that they would be willing to listen and to evaluate and to say, yeah, let's do that together. Let me tell you, I can tell you Vic Asad and John Mollett are going to need that in the churches that we're going to. Vic is going to need that group of people that are going to come up to him on the Sunday morning that he starts in ministry here and not just say, "Hi, my name is Joe Blow. I'm glad you're here," but to say, "Look, I am in this with you. I know that we're together going to find the vision that God has for this church, and let's go for it. We are the team that God has put together, and we're going to make a difference here. Let's decide that we're going to envision what God has envisioned for us and to move forward to this time." Because I tell you, that's what I'm looking for when I go to First United Methodist Church in Grapevine. Now, Jesus started to call the disciples, gather those around him who were going to be a part of that team that would do the ministry of God together with them. And so he called first Simon Peter and Andrew and then the sons of Zebedee, John and James. And did you hear what it said? He called them out of their comfort zone, out of what they knew, called them even out of their family. It says they left their nets, left their boats, left their families behind, left everything that they knew, left the only way that they knew how to make money, really called them out into a new world. They had to make a commitment. You know, it's difficult to leave family, to leave job, to just say, "No, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to do something new." It's a time of recommitment. I think that's what the church needs today. And I'm going to tell you three things that I think that Stonebridge needs to be focused on in these next several months, along with Vic. But I want to say this not only about Stonebridge. I think it's true about all churches. But the first thing I'd want to talk to you about is commitment, and I think that that's what the call of God calls each of us to do, is to recommit, and particularly a time of transition is a great time of recommitment. I was at First United Methodist Church in Denton many years ago, and I was looking through our membership books that were there that I was looking for a name and a time of baptism and time that this person joined the church and all this kind of stuff. So I was flipping through, and every once in a while I would see by a person's name the letters FBO. And I had no idea what that meant. And so I saw it enough times that it got me interested, and I went to the secretary and I said, what are these notations by some people's names? FBO, and she said, oh, that was the minister before you got here. He put by the people that he that were really not very committed to the church, FBO, for burial only, because the next time we saw him in church was going to be in a casket. And, you know, we got too many FBO members in the church today, to tell you the truth, honestly. And I don't mean just here at Stonebridge, all over the church, folks that are just looking for a place to get buried. I tell you what, if you're not alive in the life of the church, you are dead in the life of the church long before you ever come in a casket. That's why people will say, you know, the only job of the church is when you get born, or when you have a baptism, or when you get married, or when you get sick, or when you need to get buried. We're in the hatching, the patching, the matching, and the dispatching business is all we're really about. You know, the truth of the matter is we are about the ministry of Jesus Christ. God is doing a new thing in the midst of this church, in the midst of this change, in the midst of one pastor handing off the reins to another pastor. It is a great opportunity for the congregation to recommit itself to what God is doing in our lives. The disciples left behind the old stuff of their lives and took on the new stuff in their lives. Why don't people come to church? Why do people kind of fade away in the life of the church? Well, they get mad at the pastor, or they get mad at something that was said in Sunday school, or somebody didn't say hi to them in the hallway, or somebody didn't visit them when they were in the hospital, even though they didn't tell anybody that they were in the hospital. Let me tell you, honestly, I secretly hope that there's a special place in eternity for the petty people of the church. I really do. Get over the kinds of things that happen in your church, because it's not about you, and it's not about the staff, and it's not about Stonebridge United Methodist Church. It's about the work of God. It's about what we're doing together. It's about the new things that God wants to happen in McKinney, Texas, and out of the life of this church. Anything that's come between that and you is something that is not right, and you need to get over. It's the way that God wants it in the world. The best gift you can give to me, and as I go away, is recommit yourself to the life of this congregation and to being a part of the ministry that Vic will help you envision as your pastor. The second thing I want you to know, that I think as I look at the church today, the thing that the church needs the most is not only commitment, but the willingness of the people in the churches to reorder their lives, because there is a growing gap between what is proclaimed by the church and the way that we're willing to live our lives. That's really what integrity means. Integrity is the gap between the life lived and the life proclaimed. And people outside the life of the church are looking at people in the church and saying, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a part of the church? What does it mean to be a member of Stonebridge United Methodist Church? And they don't see the difference between you and me and anybody else and Joe Blow that's walking down the street. And until there is a difference, until there is a visual, a distinctive difference in the way that we live our lives, care for each other, love other people, care for the world, take care of those around us, we're not going to grow in the Christian faith. We have got to reorder our lives after the example of Jesus Christ. I was reading a verbatim that this renegade Baptist minister named Will Campbell wrote several years ago, and it's one of the great stories. I love this story. Let me just read it to you. He was talking to a member of the community, not a member of his church, but somebody that he knew well, that he had gotten to know in the community. And so this is the way this conversation went in this old country town. You know, Preacher Will, that church of yours is like an Easter chicken my little daughter Karen got one time. Man, that was a pretty little thing. Dyed a deep purple. Bought it at the feed and seed store. Karen loved that little chicken. Made her happy, and that made me and her mama happy, okay? Okay. But pretty soon, that baby chicken started feathering out, you know, sprouting little pin feathers, wings and tail and all that. And you know what? Them new feathers weren't purple. No siree, Bob. That chicken wasn't purple at all. That chicken was a Rhode Island red. And when all them little red feathers started growing out from underneath that purple, it was an awful sight. And all of a sudden, Karen didn't couldn't stand that chicken anymore. I think I see what you're driving at. And he says, no, Preacher Will, you don't understand any such thing because I hadn't gotten to my point yet. Okay, sorry, rave on. Well, we took that half purple, half red thing out to her grandma's house and threw it in the chicken yard with all the other chickens. It was still different, you understand. And all the other chickens knew it was different, and they resisted it. Pecked at it, chased after it all over the yard, wouldn't have anything to do with it. And that little chicken knew it was different, too. It didn't bother any of the other chickens, wouldn't fight back or anything like that. Really suffered, too. But that little chicken, day by day, little by little, that chicken came around pretty soon, even before all the purple stuff grew off. That thing was behaving just about like all the rest of the chickens. It would fight back and peck the littler ones and knock the other ones down to catch a bug if it had the time. Yes, sirree, Bob, that chicken world turned that Easter chicken around. And now you can't tell one chicken from another. I knew he wanted to argue, and I didn't want to disappoint him. So I said, well, that Easter chicken is still good for something. It lays eggs, doesn't it? It was, and that was just what he wanted me to say. Yes, Preacher Will, it lays eggs, but they all lay eggs. Who needs an Easter chicken for that? And the Rotary Club serves coffee, and the 4-H Club says prayers. The Red Cross takes up offerings for hurricane victims. Mental health does counseling, and the Boy Scouts has youth programs. So what's the difference between them and us? It's because we believe in Jesus Christ. It's because we have someone who leads us, who has a vision for us, who has a dream for us, who looks at a new thing that can happen out of the life of this church and enables us to experience that, join together, to do that together. We need to start narrowing the gap of integrity that the church has lost so that people in the world can see that folks who follow Christ are different with a different agenda and a different way of looking at the world and serving those around them. It's a tension of loyalties. The loyalty that those first disciples had to their business and to their families, and now a new loyalty that they we're asked to have toward Jesus Christ. You are to struggle with that tension of loyalties every day of your life. We need to narrow the gap because, let me tell you, we need, as a congregation, to get back to the basics of mission, doing good mission work. We need to make sure that our disaster relief team is at any disaster that comes up, ready to serve. We are ready to pray through our prayer team, serve through our care team, that we have a lot of folks over at Malvern Elementary School that are showing folks that have no clue what the Christian faith is like, is this is how Christians act and this is the way Christians love, that we are willing to have more people in Sunday school teaching Sunday school than we know what to do with. We need to narrow the gap between what we proclaim and how we live. And until we do that, the church is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. We have not caught the new vision and the new hope that Christ has for this church. There was a quote in a small Midwestern newspaper that said, "We are pleased to announce that the tornado that blew away the Methodist church last Friday did no real damage in the town." What would be the damage in this community if a tornado swept through this church and the Stonebridge was not here any longer? Would people really look around and say, who is going to love us? Who is going to care for us? Who is going to take care of the things that that church did and the members of that church did? And the third thing I want to say is that I believe that the old axiom is true, and that is that the worth of something is established by what you're willing to pay for it. And I want to ask every one of you to reevaluate what your faith is worth and what the worth of God is worth. Because let me tell you, over the last 7.5 years, I have never spent as much time talking to a congregation about money. Because for some reason, and I don't know what the reason is, if you look around this community, there ought to be no reason the pastor ever, ever, ever has to talk about money. It's only because this church is not giving enough. And people are not looking at their lives and saying, my faith is worth this much that I can give to the life of Christ. It's worth this much to the work of God in the world. It's worth this much for the new thing that God's going to do when Vic Cassad becomes the pastor of this church. You know, I have to say that this church would be the perfect church to serve as a pastor if it weren't for the stress that is constantly there about money. And I hope there's not a day that Vic Cassad spends in his office worried about how he's going to pay the next bill. This church needs more from you. God's work needs more attention and commitment from you. If we will do that as a congregation, there won't be another time that the pastor has to ask for money. Recommit yourself to the ministry of Christ. Reorder your life to narrow that gap. Be willing to look at how it is that you can be a part of the work of God through the gifts that you give and the worth that you find in your faith and the work of God in the world today. You see, that's what Jesus did with his disciples. He gathered them around him in the Last Supper and he said, I'm going to leave, and it's time now for you to take on these responsibilities. The body of Christ is leaving the world, but the body of Christ still exists because you are here.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.